We are in the middle of talking about the Mittler Rebbe's involvement in Eretz Yisrael, specifically Chevron. So, showing the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Mittler Rebbe himself purchased a piece of land over there. And he bought a few rooms in a shul known as Avraham Avinu Shul. And this way, his Hasidim could daven their own Nusach, right, Tilas Hashem Seder, and wouldn't have to daven with the regular minyan, which daven Nusach Svard. So once we mention Avraham Avinu Shul, we're going to talk about why it got that name. Some of you might have heard the story before, but we're going to say it again. Please do not disturb. For over 100 years before the first Chabad settlers arrived there, there were only 9 Jewish men living in Hebron. And for Shabbos and Yom Tov, a Yid would come from one of the neighboring villages. He would join them just for Shabbos and Yom Tov to help them make a minyan. During the week, however, these were very holy Yidden, but they daven without a minyan. They don't have. What are they supposed to do? On Erev Yom Kippur, right? So you're expecting a minyan to come for Yom Kippur. We need the 10th guy. The 9 Yidden are waiting expectantly for one of the Jewish villagers to join them. Hours passed. No one arrived. They tried to contact some of the villagers to see what happened, but they found out that all the villagers had decided to daven that year in Yerushalayim. So there's nobody left. And the grief was tremendous. Could you imagine davening Yom Kippur without a minyan? Holiest day of the year. Now, as the sun was about to set, they mamish were sitting in shul, crying, tears flowing. Not that it was Yom Kippur, they were crying that they had no minyan. Suddenly they noticed an old Jew that they never met coming towards them and greeting him in a very joyous way. They put some food in front of him. They said, oh, soon as some of that guy's quick. It's almost starting. And thanking them, he said, I already ate the soon as some of that guy's, don't worry about it. And expressing their gratitude to Hashem for fulfilling their tefillah, that they could daven with a minyan, they honored the traveler for helping them out with a minyan, and they asked him that if he could be shliach tzibur, if he could be the chazan. Moitze Yom Kippur, they made a geirul to decide who would have the honor of inviting this guest to their home to break the fast. And the man chosen was the shamus, who was very famous for how holy he was and for the fact that it was known about him that secrets would be revealed to him from Shemayim. Walking together, they left the shul to go to the home of the shamus. However, the shamus suddenly realized he's walking by himself. His guest just disappeared. And he, together with the other 8 Yidden, they're searching for him. They're scared maybe he made a wrong turn. Maybe he'd be harmed by one of the Arab neighbors. And they're searching. They couldn't find him. And the shamus goes home. He is in so much emotional pain right now. Like, what happened to this guy? And he was so in so much like pain. He just, mamash just fell asleep by his table. And he then saw a vision of his guest who was standing opposite him saying, I am Avraham Avinu. I remember this is in the city of Hebron, right? Where Avraham Avinu was buried. I saw the tremendous pain it caused all of you that you'd be davening on Yom Kippur without a minyan. So I came to complete the minyan. And from then on, this shul became known as Avraham Avinu Shul. And till today, you can go there. It's called Avraham Avinu Shul. And they even have the Sefer Torah that Avraham Avinu got an aliyah on. How many people could say that? Moving back to the Mittler Rebbe in Hebron, he also encouraged his Hasidim, even the many who lived in Russia, to buy some land in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, I'm not asking you to buy like a house, but just own a tiny piece of land, 4 amos by 4 amos. And they were encouraged to do this, to buy 4 square amos in Hebron, even if you have no intention of ever moving there. Now this way, the Hasidim in Eretz Yisrael would be able to use that land in the meantime to plant stuff, to live there, whatever it was. Additionally, if the Hasidim in Russia did decide to move to Eretz Yisrael and he happened to buy a piece of land over there 20 years earlier, now we'd have a place where to live. The Mittler Rebbe many times expressed his wish to move there himself. And he said that it would greatly benefit him, Baruch Nias. However, realizing that his responsibility was to the Hasidim, he remained in Russia. This desire to live in Eretz Yisrael was passed down to his children. And in 1845, 17 years after the Mittler Rebbe's Histalkus, his daughter, Rebbetzin Menucha Rachel, who was born on Yutes Kislev, the day the Alter Rebbe got released from prison. That's why she's named Menucha. Like Menucha means resting. And Rachel is after her great-grandmother. Now, finally, her family moved there. They settled in Chevron with her family. Till today, her kever is a place where people go to daven. There's a lot of miracle stories with Rebbetzin Menucha Rachel. Like a famous one is like that she would walk, she never got wet from rain. She would walk through the raindrops. It's a famous story. Anyways, in that same year, the Mittler Rebbe's son, Rebbe Nachum Nachum, also wanted to move there. And he discussed it with his brother-in-law, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe. And he told him, do you think you're any better than your father? Right? Just like he wanted to go and he didn't end up going, you also, you could want to go, but you have to stay here. Right? So really it depended who was talking to him, because his sister was allowed to go. The Tzemach Tzedek said, sure, go. Moving on to the next piece, we're going to talk about the Avos Yisrael of the Mittler Rebbe. A chassid once came to the Mittler Rebbe, and during the Yechidus with the Rebbe, poured out his heart about his serious financial problems. And he neglected, however, to mention anything about his ruchnius decline, that he was going down. The Mittler Rebbe rolled up his sleeve and showed the chassid the terrible sores, like the blisters and stuff like that on his arm. And he said, these sores and dried skin, the skin was like dry to the bone, are a direct result of your not being careful about certain mitzvahs. And when the chassid saw how his actions were personally hurting the Rebbe, not begruchnius, but gashmius, right away he says, I have to become a better person. I'm going to be better from now on. Now, the Mittler Rebbe's distance from Avedus was so obvious, but he was so tied up with the Hasidim that if something was wrong with them, it had a physical effect on the Rebbe. There's another story that brings out the Avos Yisrael between the Rebbe and Chassid. In the middle of a trip, in the middle of the summer, this is a very famous story, the Mittler Rebbe stops at an inn not far from the city of Smargon. And the summer weather was so beautiful, the Rebbe said, you know what, let me stay here for a week. And as soon as the Chassidim in the neighboring cities and towns heard, oh, the Rebbe's staying here for a week, you can imagine hundreds, thousands of people showed up to go here at the Mittler Rebbe, say Chassidus, to go to Yechidus with the Mittler Rebbe. And one by one, hundreds of Chassidim spoke privately with the Rebbe, and he answered all their questions and personal questions about their Avodas Hashem, about family, health, parnasa. One day in this week, as soon as the Chassidim, one of the Chassidim was leaving the Rebbe's room for his Yechidus, and the Mittler Rebbe instructed his Gabbai to stop the line. He said, I'm not taking anyone into Yechidus for the time being, anyone else. Now, although hundreds of people were still standing there, and they're very disappointed, they assume it's just a temporary delay. He's going to start it back up soon, in a few hours. Meanwhile, knowing that the Rebbe was getting the rest, they felt good about it. The Rebbe needs to rest. I don't want the Rebbe to not rest because of me. So they gladly said, okay, I'll stay here for another few hours online. And the Chassidim continued their preparations to see the Rebbe. Some of them were saying Tehillim. Some of them were reviewing one of the Rebbe's latest Maimarim. Or some explanations on any Chassidish topic. Half an hour later, the Gabbai, Rebbe Zalman, leaves the room that was right outside where the Rebbe was doing the Yechidus. And he looks terrified. His eyes are red with tears from crying. And the Chassidim were staring at him because he's the Mittler Rebbe's Gabbai. He must know information that we don't know. and he sees, he walks up to one to a bunch of the Elter Chassidim, and he whispered something in their ears. And right away the Chassidim, their faces turn white. And now the Chassidim, the regular Chassidim, started getting terrified. Because the Mittel Rebbe is not just resting. Obviously something very serious is going on. After some time had passed, the Elter Chassidim made the decision they're going to go into the house. And they stood there outside the Mittel Rebbe's door and put their ears to the door. They didn't really even have to put their ears to the door. They were able to hear it before that. And they heard him pouring out his soul with the words of Tehillim, crying from the depths of his heart. Something that was only done like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Smack, it's a regular day in the middle of summer. And some of these Chassidim, when they heard that, they fainted. Because they were so scared. Like, what is going on? There must be a tremendous thing, Lamaila. Something terrible is about to happen. And others were crying out in pain. Because it just didn't make sense. Now, outside, the regular Chassidim had no clue what was going on. But as time went on, they got more and more emotional. And they heard... By now, much later, they heard what's going on in the house, and the crowds of Chassidim became even more scared, and they right away got together in Minyanim and said, we're going to say the whole Tehillim, and you have hundreds of Chassidim, thousands, just saying Tehillim, crying. They don't even know what they're crying for. But if the Rebbe is so scared, terrified that he's saying Tehillim like this, how much more so do we have to be terrified? And each moment that went by, the Tehillim saying got like more and more emotional because it was getting more and more scary. Meanwhile, in the Rebbe's room, a few hours had passed, and the Rebbe finished saying the entire Tehillim. And after he finished the whole Tehillim, and when he finished, he basically prepared himself to daven Mincha. However, he first had to lie down for over an hour to just get back some of his strength, because he was so worn out from saying Tehillim with so much emotion. And when the Chassidim heard how the Rebbe was davening Mincha with the same tune that you daven by a Aseres Yimei Tshuva, they decided to daven as if it was a fast day. During Mincha, they read from the Torah Vayechal Moshe like you do on a fast day. In Shemini Esrei, they said Aneinu as it was done on a fast day. Now, Be'emes, most of them were anyway fasting because they don't want to eat before going into Yechidus with the Rebbe. Now after Mincha, the Rebbe went outside, he stood on this platform in order to be better heard, and he gave a long mimer on the topic of tshuva. A large part of this mimer was included in the Sefer Derech Chaim, which talks about tshuva. And he explained that tears of tshuva wash away improper speech and thoughts. And then he discussed in great detail the greatness of saying the words of Torah and saying Tehillim. And the Rebbe's words were hitting every single person to the core. And for years, meaning they felt it deep inside of them. And it caused many of them to do a tremendous tshuva. For years, whoever was there at that time would discuss this experience and it would like have an effect on everyone who heard it. The following day, the Rebbe was so weak that he had to rest. And all the Chassidim were pained because the Rebbe they saw his health was suffering. In addition, no one knew what Bechlau made the Rebbe so deeply affected like this. And to their relief, the following day after that, he started accepting people into Yechidus again. A few days later, the Pinchas Reizis, who was very close to the Rebbe, he asked him, what happened? And the Rebbe looks down in a very sad way, and he said, what happened? He said, when people come into Yechidus, they reveal the terrible Averis that, I mean, not everyone did terrible Averis, but some of them reveal terrible Averis that they did, each one according to their situation, meaning a great Chassid who's very, very great, he said he's done something wrong. Meanwhile, if a simple chassid did that, it wouldn't be a big deal. But for someone so great, it was much worse. Now, no matter what they tell me, in order to be able to relate to them, I have to find something that's similar to that in my own self. Like, how am I supposed to help someone if I don't know what they're going through? And until I could relate it to myself, I can't give guidance. But once I find it in myself, and how I could work on it myself, then I'm able to tell the chassid what to do. That day, the day that this whole thing happened, a person came to me, and he told me a sick aveira that he did, and I couldn't believe it. And he was asking, the guy's asking for tshuva, he wants to do tshuva. So I started looking inside my neshama, inside my own self. I couldn't find anything similar. Like, it was such a terrible aveda, I couldn't figure it out myself. And I said to myself, maybe the reason I couldn't find it was that chas v'shalom, I had it so deep inside of me and I had this thing wrong in me. And I don't know how to answer. And the idea that I could have this, it made me shake so much that I mamish had to do a tremendous, I felt like I had to do a tremendous tshuva. This is the middle of the talking. Now, a lot of stuff has been written bichlal about yichidus, but this story shows how the Mittler Rebbe looked at his approach to dealing with chassidim. In the original source, it says what it was that he found inside himself. Anyways, moving on. The Mittler Rebbe used to say, my wish is that when two chassidim meet, their regular everyday conversation should be about the levels of Yehuda Ilah and Yehuda Tata. Basically, without explaining what those things are, his desire was that Chassidim should be so soaked in Chassidus, in the study of Chassidus, that they should know it. They shouldn't have to sit there and struggle how to explain this or that. They should know it like the fingers of their hand. And to that end, how does he accomplish this? How does he help the Chassidim do this? He made the publishing of Chassidus one of his highest priorities. And that way, even a chassid who lived very far away could buy a sefer of Chassidus and learn that. A year after the Alter Rebbe's Histalkus, he reprinted the Tanya and he added the later two parts of Igeres HaKodesh and Kuntres Achroin, sections 4 and 5. Almost every year from then on, he printed another Sefer Chassidus. Some of them were transcripts of his father's Maimarim, like he printed a Siddur Imdach, that it was the regular Alter Rebbe Siddur, but with Maimarim on the side. That was Maimarim from the Alter Rebbe. Biuri HaZohar, which we say it was printed by the Mittler Rebbe, but really it's all the Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe that he explained to Zohar. Now, since most Chassidim lived in extreme poverty, it cost a lot of money to buy a sefer. So he printed some of his own Maimarim. Instead of printing it as a sefer, he did it a few sheets at a time. Sheets are not that expensive, right? But a whole sefer, so much. And this brought a tremendous reawakening in the learning of Chassidus. And Taka, one person had one Maimer, and his friend had the other Maimer. And when they both finished their Maimer, you know, they would switch and then they could discuss between themselves the two Maimarim, and then they would do it with more Chassidim. In addition, the Mittler Rebbe instructed, we already said, one of his gzeiris was that when a Chassid goes back from Lubavitch, he has to, along the way, he has to pass all the towns and villages, cities that where there are Chassidim, and he has to repeat the Maimarim that he heard. One Chassid went to the Rebbe. He was very sad about it, that he said, the Rebbe says such long Maimarim, I can't review it. I'm sorry. He said that he was able to review it. It gave him a sense of gaiva. Not that he couldn't do it. He was able to do it, but that gave him gaiva. Oh, look at me. I'm able to do so much. And he questioned whether maybe I should stop doing it because of its negative quality, which in Chassidus, you know, among Chassidim, gaiva is like, oh boy, that's the worst thing you could do. And the Mittler Rebbe replied, a very famous line of him, "At Sibelef undir zols verin, aber Chassidus zols tu chazirin." You could smell like an onion, but you must review Chassidus. Meaning, so what if you have this problem? Fix the problem, don't stop saying Chassidus. Now, while he put a lot of importance on learning the Maimarim and reviewing them with others, This was not his ultimate goal. He also demanded that the Hasidim use the Hasidus they learned to improve themselves. And we'll say a story about how he showed that next time.